If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, go with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We've been in a series on Sunday nights called After the Storm, Finding Hope After a Pandemic. We've assessed the damage, we've removed the debris, and now we are rebuilding deeper and stronger. The title of the message tonight is Rebuilding on the Word of God. Now, let me ask you, do you know anyone whose faith has folded over the last 2 years? A few years ago, they were coming to church, they were serving. They seemed rock solid. They seemed happy in Jesus. But after all the challenges and difficulties that we faced as a culture, that person is now, 2 years later, nowhere to be found. Maybe they lost a loved one to COVID, and they were overwhelmed with grief. Maybe they got sidetracked and fell down the rabbit hole of conspiracy theories. Or maybe they got angry about masks and vaccines or politics, and now their life is just one big fight. Or maybe this person is now paralyzed by fear. They were once so vibrant and faithful and active, but now they're afraid to do anything for God. Do you know anyone, and it just seems like the bottom has fallen out of their faith? Adrian Rogers once asked a helpful question. He said, do you know what to do when the bottom falls out? When the bottom falls out, you need to examine the foundation. When the bottom is falling out of people's faith, we need to examine the foundation of their faith. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus asked us to do in Matthew chapter 7. Look there at verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. The title of the message again this evening, Rebuilding on the Word of God. Now, this parable comes at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, and the Sermon on the Mount is the greatest sermon ever preached. Amen. It was preached by the Lord Jesus. He's been preaching for a while, for about three chapters, and he's winding down. As he concludes, he makes the appeal. It's time to make it personal. He calls for a verdict. In verses 21 through 23, he warns his hearers about just professing belief in Jesus, but not practicing a belief in Jesus. And then in verses 24 through 7, which we just read, he warns them against hearing the word of God, but not doing it. So see the contrast in his appeal. In verses 21 through 23, he contrasts between saying and doing. In verses 24 through 27, he contrasts between hearing and doing. He tells us in this parable about two builders. One a wise man. As Luke's gospel says, he dug deep. And he built his house upon a rock. The other man was a foolish man. He did not bother with the foundation. He built his life on the sand, on the topsoil. Now, this is a parable of comparison and contrast. On the surface, these men had a lot to compare. They had some similarities. For instance, they both had the same purpose, didn't they? They were building houses. And the house in this parable represents the two men's lives. They were both building our lives. And I would remind you tonight, we're all building a life, and we're all building our lives upon something. They had the same purpose. I noticed this, they had the same plan. Their houses, I think, were basically the same. Floors, walls, doors, windows, a roof, a ceiling, rooms. There may have been some small differences in the builds of the two houses, but if you had driven by both men's homes, you would not have seen a lot of differences between the two. They had the same purpose. They had the same plan. Think about this. They both built in the same place. We get that from the fact that the storm, the same storm, hit both men's houses. Maybe there was a few miles between their two locations, but they lived in the same relative place. If I could say it this way, they face the same circumstances, the same trials, the same storm. So at this point, we would say the casual observer could not see any discernible difference between the two men or the two houses they were building until the storm came. And that told the difference. And I would just say the same is true of every person in the room tonight. I'd remind you that there are only two types of people in this room, those that have true saving faith in Jesus and those that do not. As Vance Havner, the old country preacher, used to say, only two types of people, saints and ain'ts. And the same two type of people are in the room tonight. There, among those who don't have it, who don't have saving faith, there are some people here, no doubt, who profess to have it, but do not. They've heard the words of Jesus. They say they believe the words of Jesus. Some of them can probably even tell you the words of Jesus, the gospel. But they don't really obey or believe the words of Jesus because they don't obey the words of Jesus. Let me tell you, from up here on where I'm standing, it's almost impossible to tell the difference between the two. On one pew is a family, and they have their Bibles open. They're dressed so nicely. They're very attentive to the preaching. They're really good hearers of the word. On the next pew is another family, and they look almost exactly the same. Bible's open, they're dressed well, they're paying attention. These two families read the same books, they listen to the same sermons, they probably even like the same kinds of music. But one of those families is the real deal. They love the Lord, they obey the Lord, they're going to stand strong in the storms of life, but the other family, perhaps, is not the real deal. In a few months, maybe a year or so, they'll be gone, and not even the FBI will be able to find them. Now, after 15 years of ministry, here's what I've learned. If Sunday is all I have to go by, it's almost impossible for me to tell the difference. It's almost impossible for me to tell the difference. Some people are really good at pretending. You can't tell the difference until the storm comes. The storm shows who was faking and who was real. The storm shows who talked about faith and who really had it. The storm shows those Christians who came to church Sunday after Sunday to hear the word, and those who came to church Sunday after Sunday to hear it and do something with it. But you generally can't tell until the storm comes. Now, the storm in this passage can stand for any difficulty or trial in life. I'm convinced of that. We are in the middle of a cultural storm not seen since the days of World War II. But I think in the contrast of this passage, it really stands for that great final cataclysmic storm of death and judgment. And I won't take the time to read verses 21 through 24 tonight, but that's exactly what Jesus is talking about, standing before the judgment seat. Many saying, Lord, Lord, and Jesus saying, depart from me. I never knew you, you that worked in iniquity. A lot of people think they built their lives well because they heard the word or because they said they were followers of Jesus. But when they stand before the Lord on that great and final day in all of his glory, everything that they built with their life is going to fall down like a house of cards because it was built on the wrong foundation. Now stay with me. We're setting the context for the story. We've noticed how these men are similar, but of course let's notice their differences. It's a parable of contrast. Of course, the main difference is what? They had two different foundations. One man built his house on the rock. He took his time. He dug deep. He made sure his house was built on the right foundation. The other man was careless. He never considered or pondered what he was building his house upon. And for a while, both men were fine. In fact, the careless man seemed to be ahead, didn't he? After all, he had a house just like the other man. He didn't have to do the back-breaking work of digging deep and anchoring his house to the rock. It's cheaper and easier and faster to build your house when you're not worried about the foundation. These men had two different foundations. Now, what does it mean in this parable to build on the rock? Jesus makes it crystal clear. Building on the rock is hearing and doing the word of God, obeying it. What does it mean to build your life on the sand, according to Jesus? To hear the word of God, to show up for church on Sunday, but not to obey what you've heard. And Jesus said, if you're like that man, you're building on the sand. I noticed they had different foundations. I noticed this, they had different fates. The same storm came to both men, but with very different results. The rain fell down, the water came up, the wind swirled around. The house built on the rock stood. The house built on the sand collapsed. And the Bible says, great was the fall of it. The idea of that statement is that it was a total loss. The house was condemned. There was nothing left. And if there was anyone sheltering inside that house, they perished when the storm came. So they had different foundations. They had different faiths. I noticed this. They had a different fame. One man is immortalized as a wise man and is known forever as a wise man. One man is immortalized as a fool. Here's what Jesus is saying. It is wise for a person to hear the word and dig deep and do the work to build his life upon it. It is very foolish, Jesus says, to hear the word of Jesus and know what he says and not do it. That's the point of the passage. Let me remind you this evening, we are not saved by our works. Amen? Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But the Bible makes it clear, the faith that saves is never alone. We are not saved by our works, but don't ever forget it. We are saved to good works. Amen. James says, faith without works is dead. In other words, it's not authentic. It's not the real deal. And one of the ways you know you have really believed in Jesus as Lord is that you obey Jesus as Lord. You hear his words and you do them. In fact, Jesus asked a question. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? That's what he's just said in Matthew 7. Many will come to me in that day and say, we've done all these things in your name. But I will say to you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Here's the point. If our lives are not characterized by an increasing obedience to God and his word, we should question whether he is truly our Lord at all. We should examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. Now, let me make two quick declarative statements about this parable. On the first hand, this parable gives assurance to those who are building their lives on the word of God. I love this. This is an encouraging parable if you're building your life on the word. No matter how difficult the storm, or how heavy the rain, or how fierce the winds, or how high the floods, if you are building your life on the word of God, no storm will ever shake your foundation. Amen. You'll stand strong. I love what the hymn writer said. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus hath fled. And I love the last verse. The soul that on Jesus doth lean for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. And if you are building your life on the word of God, you are building your life on the right foundation, and no storm will ever shake you. You know, folks, when a storm comes, we may tremble on the rock, but thank God the rock will never tremble under us. Amen. The word of God is a firm foundation for your life. So build your character on it. Build your professional life on it. Build your friendships on it. Build your marriage on it. Build your home on it. Build your future on it. If you will build on the word of God, your life will stand the storm. It's encouraging. But I notice in the second place, this parable sounds an alarm for those who hear the word of God but do not obey it. And I think every Christian in 2022 needs to listen very carefully to this point, because we have so much access to the Bible today. Isn't that true? We have multiple Bibles in our home. In fact, if I asked you to name off the top of your head how many Bibles you have at home, you probably couldn't even count them all. You'd have to go home and think about it. We have the Bible app on our phones, of course. We have Christian TV stations and live streams and podcasts and Christian radio. You could fill up this room tonight with all the Christian books that are going to be released this month alone. And they're writing all those books because people are reading all those books. Now, folks, of course it's good to read the Bible. It's good to hear the Bible. It's good to listen to sermons and Christian music. Sure beats talk radio and country music. Amen. Amen. But back in West Texas, we had a saying. When someone would go off to college and come back without a lick of common sense, we would say about that person, that guy is educated beyond his intelligence. You've heard that. Let me tell you something. I think we have an entire generation of Christians who are sermonized beyond their obedience. Amen. Sermonized beyond their obedience. And I don't think the answer is less preaching. The Bible says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The answer is not less saturation. The answer is more application. We hear a lot, but we need to be a lot better about applying what we hear. Here's why. We don't know when the next storm is coming. We don't know when we're going to get that phone call that changes our lives. We don't know if our country is about to be thrown in the middle of a world war. We don't know, but that the next wave of persecution will overflow the banks of the United States of America. We do know that a storm is coming at some point. And the wise people in this room are going to take the truths that God gave them today in Sunday school, in the Sunday morning message, in the Sunday evening message, and they're going to find something from each of those messages to apply to their lives. The wise people, before they go off and rush through their day, are going to open up the Bible tomorrow. They're going to read it. But not just to check a box, they're going to read it to change their lives. And they'll take at least one truth from their Bible reading, and they'll put it to work throughout the day. And as they do that day after day, and Sunday after Sunday, and Wednesday after Wednesday, one truth on top of another truth, they're going to build a strong life that's ready to stand when the storm comes. But for those who only hear, for those who only read, for those who don't ever do the work to actually build the Word of God into their lives, the Bible says that when the storm comes, they will fold and fall. And great will be the fall of it. You say, Pastor, I think I get the idea. I don't want to be the fool. I want to be the wise man. I don't want to fall when the next storm comes. I want to stand. So how can I stormproof my life? How can I go from being just a hearer of the Word, which all of us on a Sunday night are really good at, to being a doer of the Word? As we close, I want to give you five characteristics of doers of the Word. And we're going to follow this throughout the Scriptures. Here are five characteristics of people who not only hear it, but do it. I notice this in the first place, they meditate on the Word. Doers of the Word meditate on the Word. Jot down Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Well, I know this is the Sunday of spring break and time change Sunday, but if you're still with me, say amen. Amen. All right. Success comes to those, the Bible says, who observe to do the Word. And those who observe to do the Word, the Bible says, are those who meditate on the Word day and night. Are you a Bible meditator? What does that mean? Well, meditation simply means to think deeply and repetitively about one small section of Scripture. Deeply and repetitively about one small section of Scripture. The old standby illustration is, of course, the cow chewing the cud. You city folks may not have seen that a lot. I've seen it a lot. The cow will get up in the morning and he'll eat the grass. He'll go in the middle of the day and find a shady place underneath a tree. He will regurgitate what he ate in the morning, and he'll have a snack on the same grass he ate for breakfast. And he'll do that over and over again all day long, getting all of the nutrients out of that grass. And the Bible says we're to have a similar attitude with the Word of God. We're to pick up a passage of it in the morning. Then we are to think about it day and night. That's a euphemism, not a euphemism. That's an expression for thinking about it throughout the entire day, all day long. None of us will be able to really apply, for instance, this sermon to our lives if this is the last time we think about it. We need to run it through our minds again. And as we think about God's Word day and night, over and over, here's what happened. We sow some thoughts about the Bible, and we'll reap some actions. We'll sow some actions and we'll reap some habits. We sow some habits and we'll reap some destinies. But it is the thinking that precedes the doing. So learn how to think deeply and repetitively about the scriptures, because thinking precedes doing. Doers of the word meditate on the word. All right, turn with me over to James chapter 1. I love to hear the sound of those Bible pages flapping. That's a preacher's favorite sound. James chapter 1, verse 21. Here's the second characteristic of those who do the word. They are meek. James 1, 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, he's talking here to Christians. And he's not talking about being justified. He's talking about being sanctified. This engrafted word will sanctify your soul. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, there's the key, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So listen to what James says. That's a passage about doing the word, isn't it? Doers of the word receive the word with meekness. And because they do, it gets engrafted into their hearts and souls. Meek people internalize the word. They aren't so proud that they think it doesn't apply to them. They don't hear a sermon and say, boy, my wife really needed to hear that tonight. Or man, I hope brother so-and-so heard that. No, no, no. They're meek. They let the word of God, like a sharp sword, pierce their hearts and get down deep into their soul. They have the attitude, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. They are like a man that comes to a mirror and is honest enough to admit that he doesn't like what he sees. And he's willing to stand there as long as it takes for a change to take place. But the man who only hears the word, the Bible says, glances at the mirror, but he quickly leaves it so that he forgets what the mirror showed him in the first place. And that's going to happen tonight, by the way. For some people, the word is going to go in one ear, bounce around for a little bit, and go out the other ear. And by the time tomorrow morning rolls around, you won't even be able to tell me what I preached on tonight. Meek people aren't like that. They're willing to admit, I come to this word and it shows me some things that I'm not proud of. I'm not what I need to be. You showed me, God, something about myself that needs to change. I don't always know how to fix it. I know you know how to fix it. And I'm going to stand here and think about this passage and look at this book until something changes. Let me ask you, do you respond to the word of God with meekness? When's the last time you left a devotion or a sermon and you said, that was really for me, I needed to receive that? Doers of the word are meek. Notice the third thing, doers of the word are growing from glory to glory. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you will. Doers of the word are growing from glory to glory. Now, like James 1 says, God's word shows us some things that we need to change. But like we said this morning, without the help of God, we are powerless to change them. Without him, we can do what? Nothing. So this verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18, explains, I think more than any other verse in the Bible, how God's people change. Look at what it says in verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, that same metaphor, a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, a very quick one-sentence summary of what we just read. When the people of God study the Word of God and behold the glory of God, they are changed into the image of the Son of God by the Spirit of God. That's what this verse is saying. He says we are changed from glory to glory. In other words, folks, just a little at a time. I'm not yet all that I will be. And every single time I come meekly to God's word, I really look at it, I meditate on it, I see myself, and more importantly, I see my Savior, and I ask God for the strength I need to obey and apply. He grants me that strength, and I become a little more like Jesus than I was the day before. That's how it happens. By the way, that's what I'm looking for. That's why I came to church today. How about you? It's my sincere prayer that when I leave tonight, I will be just a little more like Jesus than I was when I got here today. And how it happens is day after day, devotion after devotion, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, I will grow a little bit more, a degree at a time, until I become a whole lot more like Jesus. That's how change happens. Listen, the only place you can build a castle in a day is on the sand. If you're going to build on the rock, it takes some time. And doers of the word are changed from glory to glory. I notice this, doers of the word develop a discerning spirit. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 5, if you will. Look at what it says in verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. Doers of the word develop a discerning spirit. Have you ever met a discerning person? A discerning person knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. They just know what to do. They know how to apply God's word to the practical situations of life. They can tell you the way you need to go. The writer of Hebrews is telling you how you develop that kind of discernment. Here he's providing a contrast between those who are on the one hand spiritually immature and those who are on the other hand spiritually mature. The spiritually immature are those who are, in his words, unskillful with the word of righteousness. And he compares them to babies, babies who like to drink milk. The spiritually mature are those who are skillful with the word. By reason of use, they have exercised their senses and they know how to use the word of God to discern between what is good and what is evil. Now, when we think about Christians drinking milk, we immediately think about some new Christian who just got saved the other day. They haven't been in church long and they haven't heard the word of God much. That's not what the writer of Hebrews says. He says milk Christians are not necessarily new Christians who've not heard God's word. They are Christians who have not learned how to use God's word. We can only really grow in the Christian life as we put the word of God to practice, to use. So we hear a sermon about the home, and we go home and we put it to use. We get up and we read our devotions, and it talks to us about being a Christian in the workplace, and we decide, I'm going to put this to practice today. I'm going to act like a Christian at work. We read a proverb about watching our words. So we learn how to talk less and listen more. A lot of us need to read that proverb. And here's what happens. As we apply the word of God to our lives, we grow more and more mature. Our spiritual senses are exercised. They are honed. They are refined. The more we apply the word of God to our lives, the better we get at applying the word to our lives. And when an issue arises, we think biblically about it, and we can easily discern what's good and what's not good. Why? Because we look at everything in our life through the lens of what the Bible says. Things that seem complicated and complex to other people seem very simple and very clear-cut to us because we know what the word says, we know what the word means, and we know how to apply it to life situations. And if you've ever met a discerning person, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You can go to them and ask them about just about anything that's happening in your life, and they've got a Bible verse for you, and they can tell you how to apply it to your life. That's the kind of Christian I want to be. I want to think about the complicated, complex issues of life according to God's word, and I want to get really good at applying it to my life and to the lives of other people. Doers of the word develop a discernment, a discerning spirit. All right, here's the last thing. Are you ready? Doers of the word obey the Lord because they love him. Amen. They obey the Lord because they love him. John 14, 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. You see what Jesus says? If you love me, you'll obey me. And as you grow in the Christian life, you'll come to a place in your experience where you will obey the Lord because you sincerely love him. Let me tell you something. You cannot meekly meditate on this word day in and day out without developing a sincere love for the Lord Jesus. And the more you love him, the more you will want to obey him. And nobody will have to force you to obey. Your parents won't have to force you to obey the Bible. Your RAs from Christian college won't have to follow you around. Your Sunday school teacher won't have to check in on you every day. When you grow in your maturity, you will want to obey the Lord because you truly love him. You open up the Bible, he says something to you, and it's your pleasure to put it into practice because you want to please him. You truly love him. And that should be our attitude when we come to church or come to the scriptures. God says something to me. I'm meek enough to believe it's about me. And because I truly love him, no matter what he asks for, I'm ready to do it. Let me ask you tonight, are you a hearer of the word or a doer of it? Are you building your life tonight on the sand or on the rock? Do you meditate on the word? Do you run it through your mind? Is tonight's sermon going to be in one ear, out the other, or are you going to think about it this week so you can apply it? Let me ask you, are you meek? Do you let the word of God stick to your heart? Are you honest with God and honest with yourself about your real spiritual condition? Is anyone in here meek enough to admit you're a work in progress? There's still much that needs to change. Let me ask you tonight, are you growing from glory to glory? Can you look back at where you were 30 days ago, just a month ago? Say, maybe I haven't made a lot of progress, but I tell you what, I'm a more obedient Christian than I was in the middle of February, in the middle of March. I'm growing from glory to glory. Let me ask you, are you discerning? Is God's word just theology and doctrine to you, or are you putting it to use? Are you binding your Bible in shoe leather? Will the word of God change how you live on the job tomorrow? Let me ask you, do you obey the Lord because you truly love him? Is your heart's attitude tonight one that says, I have nothing too precious to give Jesus? Anything he asks me for, I'm going to give it. Whatever he wants, he can have it. I love him more than anything. So listen, if the bottom's falling out of your life, examine your foundation. And if you'll build your life on the Bible, if you'll hear the word of God and do it, you'll never have to worry about the bottom falling out. Let's not be a church of hearers of the word. Let's be a church of doers of the word. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I'm so glad we have this wonderful book called the Bible to build our lives upon. I'm so glad you've told us what's right, what's wrong, how to get right, and how to stay right, and that it's sufficient for every area of life and godliness. Wise people learn how to build their lives upon it. They dig deep in it. They put it into practice. Foolish people only hear it and acknowledge it, but never really believe it and never really apply it. With all my heart, I want to build my life and my home on the rock of the Word of God. And I pray everyone here tonight does the same. Lord, if there's someone here who's never trusted Christ, I pray here in just a moment they'd trust him. That's the major message of the Bible. And I pray tonight they'd get it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.